Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. The tournament's in full swing, and the action hasn't disappointed. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $1 on any tournament game, and if your team wins, you win $100. That simple. Pick any college basketball team that's still in the hunt for your shot at winning $100. All it takes is a dollar bet and that team winning their next game. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the college basketball team of your choosing pulls off the win. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number three of our show. That means it's time to ask Greg. I am Jim Galante. He is Greg Pickle. Greg, are you ready for the questions?
I am, Jim. Let's do it.
All right. Let's see. Where will we start? Well, since we talked recruiting earlier, let's get a recruiting question in. Dominic from Cranberry Township, our good buddy there, says, who do you feel among the current prospects is nearest to a decision for Penn State?
Yeah, so I'm assuming we're talking about guys in the 2022 class who are uncommitted at this point. You know, I don't know if anyone is really nearing a decision at this point. And we've talked about this before, but we're so close to these guys getting to take visits again that I just don't know how many of them are in a huge rush to make a decision, Jim, only to be put in that weird predicament we talked about in quarter one where you commit now and then you think a couple months from now your buddies are taking visits or teammates are taking visits or whatever, and you're like, maybe that's what I want to do. Maybe I want to go check some things out. So, you know, if Penn State pushes for a guy or two, could they get a commitment now? But I'll be real honest with you, Jim, I would be surprised if we see nationwide a lot of commitments between now and June. And for Penn State, you know, again, maybe somebody will up and decide that Penn State's a school for them. It doesn't matter who could offer in the future, who could ask them to visit in the future. It makes no difference. But I just think the best way to answer that question is probably no one, just because, again, you know, when you look at what these guys have in store for them, if they haven't been able to do throughout their whole recruiting process, I think it just makes more sense to hold off.
And we've been so used to over the years that this time frame right now in the spring may be prime time for getting these recruits, these commitments. It's just going to be different this year. And yeah, like you said, Greg, if they're that close to being able to have a visit, even if you feel Penn State is the route you want to take, why not wait till June when you could get on campus with your prospective new teammates, make the announcement then, be able to do it in person, tell the coaches. I think, though, June and July, though, it's going to be a mad scramble, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. And the other thing we have to keep in mind, too, is you're going to hit a point where guys are going to see dominoes falling elsewhere. We kind of already saw that with the quarterback situation, and that worked out well for Penn State. But, you know, there were a number of guys that kind of committed all in succession. The four-star picked Notre Dame. Drew Allar picked Penn State. Nick Evers picked Florida. I think a couple other commitments were made. So, you know, that's another thing to watch, too. Maybe that will lead to it. That's probably the only thing that could lead to a commitment run between now and the visit period starting again, Jim, is if guys start committing to lock up spots before that visit window starts and the camp season starts and all that. And, you know, if you're looking at Penn State, for example, and they want to take two or three defensive ends, one commits there, one commits here, there's spots kind of going everywhere across the country, that could lead to some commits. But other than that, I think we're probably in a bit of a holding pattern.
I agree with you. All right, you were talking quarterback commits. Let's get to a quarterback question. Steve from Potomac, Maryland says, is Penn State a less attractive quarterback transfer destination now that there are two top 2022 recruits. If Clifford plays in 21 like he did in 20, will Franklin move on to one of the 22 guys? Seems like Roberson couldn't get on the field last year. If he couldn't get on the field last year, then he's not likely to be the viable option.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far just yet. I want to see what he does with a full spring practice. I mean, there were some videos floating around out there on social media between the end of the regular season and now that showed some pretty good zip on some passes from him. Of course, when we're talking about social media, Jim, you're always going to see the best throw, the best run, the best this, the best that. You're not going to see the ball that sailed, you know, 50 yards in the air and hit the wall down the field, whatever. But, you know, there were also some photos from Penn State after the first week of spring practice that showed him, and he looked pretty darn good. So, you know, or like a well-built anyway. We don't know what he looked like actually throwing the ball. But, you know, I'm not ready to give up on him just yet. But I do think that obviously the 2022 guys are going to come in motivated to push really hard. And, again, the other thing is we don't know exactly what Penn State has in Christian Veau, because he's a guy that didn't have a senior season because of the pandemic, so he comes in January enrollee, so that helps speed things up for him. But yeah, you have to think, until we see or hear otherwise, that he's still a little bit behind the eight ball. So you know, those guys, of course, 22 guys, are going to be getting significant game reps, albeit at the high school level. You know, we assume that Veau is not going to get that at the college level, and if he did, he's either much, 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 much better than we thought, or things didn't quite go so well in one way, shape, or form. So we'll see. But, yeah, I'm not ready to give up on Roberson just yet.
And I believe you can't make any conclusions about Roberson's ability by saying, gee, they didn't put him on the field when the other quarterback struggled last year, so that must mean they don't have faith in him. If you look at James Franklin's history, you could go all the way back to Hackenberg not necessarily playing well, and we never saw Trace McSorley until he became the starter. We didn't see much of Clifford when McSorley was the starter. And even, you know, with Clifford as the starter, you would think Will Levis would have been a viable alternative earlier than he was. But we didn't see much Will Levis till very late. So that seems to be James Franklin's MO. He rides the starter for as long as possible. Sticking with the quarterback theme, let's go with Don from Camp Hill. Now, Don sent me an email with several things in talking about the quarterback situation. But he had a question that I wanted to put out to you here, Greg, and that is this. Should Penn State hire a proven quarterback coach to the staff who has proven he can develop a 3- or 4-star quarterback to be an elite quarterback for Penn State? And just to give a little more context to the question, earlier he talked about essentially if Penn State can't bring in the 5-star guy, do they need to somehow compensate for that by getting an extra quarterback guru type in who could coach up a 3- or 4-star quarterback to be an elite quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my question would be, is this question from like December, because I think Penn State did get that guy in Mike Yurcich. I mean, he's obviously had Justin Fields, and he's had some good quarterbacks around him, but they haven't always been stars out of high school. So, I mean, I think they have that guy. And to the point of the question, you know, those guys are hard to find, frankly. I mean, they're just not out there. There's not a ton of them out there. And, you know, the other thing is, up your recruiting game. I think to me it'd be easier to up your recruiting game by winning. And I know this all kind of goes hand in hand, right? Because you win, you can get a better quarterback, you can get better coaches. So, like, you know, it all starts with winning. We talk about that a lot in recruiting. But, you know, I just think that for Penn State to get where it wants to go, it needs Mike Yurcich to develop these guys on the roster for as long as he's here. And then that will help down the road, whether he's here 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever it might be. Certainly, I think, anytime you're hiring an offensive coordinator, he better be able to develop quarterbacks. So I certainly think that'll be a goal of Penn State's moving forward.
Greg, I want to throw a theory out to you on this quarterback situation, and it's nothing new. I've talked about this before. I believe a lot of fans in general and Penn State fans specifically think in terms of this almost binary. A 5-star quarterback's going to be an elite. Anything less than that's going to be a development guy. and you think in terms of people like Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Tua to Alabama. These were five-star guys, went to the best program, became stars and top draft pick. The problem with that theory, though, is we've looked back at the number. There's only a handful of five-star recruits. I went back and looked at it, and out of the last 7 years, I think there were 14 five-star recruits, and of them, only five of them could be considered a success at the college level. Nine of the 14, I think you could call a bust. So is it not so much about getting a five-star quarterback? And my theory on the three or four-star quarterback that you bring in, I'm not sure it's so much a matter of development as it may be scouting. You know, Patrick Mahomes was not a five-star quarterback. And I suspect Patrick Mahomes would have been Patrick Mahomes no matter where he went. So might it just be more about scouting and finding that guy who's elite?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, well, and look, Trace McSorley obviously is a good place to start that conversation as any. Now, obviously, we talked before that if you get five stars, you're more at four stars, you're probably more likely to have developed those guys into the kind of winner that Trace McSorley was, assuming they have some of the traits like being a winner that he had when he got to Penn State. I mean, that's a tough lightning to strike twice, but yeah, I mean, it's about evaluation as much as anything else. And look, they've struggled at Penn State with quarterback evaluation. I don't know. There's no other way to really go about it. I mean, outside of Trace McSorley, Jim, they've recruited a lot of guys who, Will Levis, maybe he'll pan out now that he's moved on, maybe not, but, I mean, he was a glorified running back here, and you would think that if he threw the ball better, they'd have had him throw the ball more. I just don't know. I have a hard time thinking Kirk Soraka and James Franklin didn't want to put their best passer on the field last year, despite Clifford's struggles. You know, Michael Johnson Jr. hit the transfer portal. Micah Bowens hit the transfer portal. You know, they have not really. Tommy Stevens obviously had hit the transfer portal before. I mean, it's not been rock solid recruiting at the quarterback position for Penn State. And whether that's James Franklin, whether that's the offensive coordinator, whether it's a mixture of both, whether it's just one of them, I don't know the answer to that question, Jim. But it's been a challenge, and it's one they need to address, starting with the fact that Mike Yurcich is now here.
The flip side of it is on the scouting side. Remember, they found Trace McSorley. They found Justin Fields probably before everybody else did. And you may even say they found Bo Prabula when he was still ranked as just a three-star, and then he blossomed. He's now a four-star. So it will be interesting to see. But that is it for Ask Greg. We'll name a winner in quarter number four, and we'll bring in our buddy Jeff Brown. Stay tuned.
The tournament is in full swing, and DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of action. Bet $1 on any tournament game, and if your team wins, you win $100. It's that simple. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.